Service Daily Newscast for Monday, November the 12th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The election recount spotlight on Florida with three hotly contested races. Also on the Monday rundown, can women sustain their record election gains? Plus, a congressional bill would preserve historic sites. Topping our news, the race to count Florida's votes got even messier Sunday as Governor Rick Scott's campaign filed a handful of lawsuits seeking to give law enforcement custody of election equipment and prevent certain ballots from being included in the official results. The Huffington Post reporting a recount began Saturday in the U.S. Senate race between Scott, a Republican, and Democrat Bill Nelson. Scott narrowly leads Nelson by 0.15 percentage points, well within the 0.25% threshold for a manual recount. Archibald Gomes has more on the legal actions concerning three key races in the Sunshine State.
Claiming possible fraud against election supervisors in Broward and Palm Beach counties, the Republican Party of Florida also accuses Broward supervisor Brenda Snipes of incompetence and gross mismanagement. Attorney Len Collins says he sued the same office on behalf of a Democratic candidate when physical ballots were destroyed after the 2016 election, only saving digital copies. A court ruled that violated state law. Now representing the GOP, Collins says it's in everyone's best interest to ensure the process works according to the law.
Above the politics, outside of any of this stuff, count fairly and you get a result. That's how that should work. Without any of this stuff. And it's not working here. And it's not working in Palm Beach County either.
Collins spoke on the Rotunda podcast. Snipes said Saturday all ballots have been processed, and she's addressing requests and questions as they come in. Both the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and Florida Department of State have said they received no credible allegations of fraud or criminal activity.
And while the votes are still being counted, Ross Brown reports we do already know that the number of women elected to the U.S. House last week is a record high.
Louisiana State University professor Nicole Bauer has studied women's efforts to achieve parity in politics. She says at least 123 women will serve in the 116th Congress, boosting the share of female lawmakers from 19% to just over 22%. But Bauer also notes that more than half the women running in the primaries didn't win, which suggests continued mobilization is critical.
Whether that will sustain in 2020 depends on how many resources the political parties are willing to put into backing female candidates at the local level, at the state level, and at the House level.
Bauer says trends continue to show that women only win elections if voters consider them significantly better candidates than the men they're running against.
Of the 123 women headed to Congress, only about 6% are Republican. After a federal district court blocked construction of the Keystone XL pipeline last week, Eric Gelattis reports that tribal leaders say they will step up efforts to protect sites, including the Ponca Trail of Tears, along the proposed route.
The court found that in addition to key environmental violations, the U.S. State Department failed to evaluate potential cultural impacts on more than 1,000 acres in Nebraska. Dallas Goldtooth with the Indigenous Environmental Network says the ruling means the Trump administration will have to consult with tribal nations.
The Trump administration could go in the wrong way and not reach out to tribes. And so we really are going to be pushing strong. And the Indigenous Environmental Network is working closely with a number of the tribes to make sure that their voices are not left out in this process.
Judge Brian Morris ruled that the Trump administration's arguments for reversing an Obama-era decision to deny TransCanada a permit to construct the pipeline were incomplete. President Donald Trump called the decision political and a disgrace. The State Department and TransCanada said they will review the ruling, which could be appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court in San Francisco.
And those who help protect America through their military service now may need some protection of their own. Veterans are more often victimized by fraud than non-veterans. Chuck Wagner's with AARP Arkansas. He says a group survey found veterans who are taken advantage of by scammers typically have experienced negative life events such as debt, family problems, or injury.
These go all the way from benefits fraud relating to their veterans affairs benefit to identity theft and also into other common areas that would affect them, such as rental scams and special deals for veterans.
Wagner notes that the VA will never request personal information by phone, email, or text. Finally, groups across the country calling on Congress to address maintenance costs in national parks in order to save some of America's most historic places.
Alongside parks such as Congaree, the National Park Service protects historic sites such as Fort Sumter, the Reconstruction-era National Monument, and the South Carolina National Heritage Corridor, extending from the Appalachian Mountains to Charleston. Michael Lyle is head of Somerville Dream, an economic development organization that helps preserve the 170-year-old downtown of Somerville, near Charleston. He says addressing the country's maintenance backlog would fight back against the effects of severe weather.
We see a lot of significant weather events, not just hurricanes, obviously heavy rain, wind, a lot of difficult climate conditions. And so a lot of the deferred maintenance on the national parks here in the Charleston area relates to improvements or rehabilitation from weather-related damage.
A bill known as the Restore Our Parks Act could help preserve these historic places. This is Eric Taganoff reporting.
I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week, newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.